This is August the 20th, 2024. Good morning, everyone. It is good to be back on the internet, and hopefully before too long, from what I hear, we should be on the radio once again. I pray we do. I'm excited about that, about getting back on the local channel. And we appreciate KALT for letting us be a part of this ministry. And man, we've been doing this now for 13 years, I'm pretty sure. I just have to go back and look. But man, we've been on the radio for quite a while now, and we're grateful to be able to have that opportunity. And I appreciate you listening in. I couldn't do it without you. And I'm just hoping and praying that through this ministry, someone will come to know Jesus. Through this ministry, you know, that's what we're wanting to do. We're just wanting to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, the way to heaven. The way to heaven is through Him and Him only. And that's what we preach, you know, and what He did for us. He went to the cross to die for our sins. He took our place for our punishment because of sin. And very grateful that God is so good to us. He is. And the church is doing well. Had a great Sunday. Had good attendance. Seems like our attendance is finally just kind of leveling out. And we're excited about that. Was able to do a devotion yesterday at Fout Community Center. Love those people over there. Great folks. They have like a senior day every day there, and they feed them. And so they do devotions and allow other, you know, preachers to come in, churches to come in, do devotions. And so I was out able to do that. And I bring my guitar and we sing. We just have a good time. And it's really good to be able to do that as well. But Lord's good. Lord's good. Listen, let's not. I hope you have a church. If you don't have a church, we'd love for you to come visit Macedonia Baptist Church. And we're located at 23465 State Highway 237. Actually, it's the Bright Star. If you know the community, it's called Bright Star Community. But we have a Doddridge address, okay? So if you were going to put it in your GPS, you'd have to put down Doddridge. And it'll show you. It'll bring you right here. We'd love for you to come. 10:45 Sunday morning, 6 o'clock on Sunday night, 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Just a great time. Great bunch of people here. Love the Lord. Love people. And we'd love to have you come and be a part of us. Don't really have a whole lot going on right now. Boy, just trying to enjoy some of this cooler weather that the Lord has brought our way. Actually, yesterday we got about an inch of rain. Not everybody got it, but we were very fortunate where we live that we got that. And it kind of wet the ground, kind of got some moisture back in the ground. We was grateful for that. We're just trying to enjoy this cooler weather. So getting ready for the fall. We got a fall festival coming up in October. We'll have our Christmas program. You know, of course, you got Thanksgiving holidays, and we're looking forward to the things that are coming up as well. And so I hope you're doing well yourself. And I want to do a song this morning. We're going to be in Mark chapter 5 today, actually. If you're where you can turn your Bible to Mark chapter 5. And we're going to talk about what Jesus does when He comes into your life. He changes your life. And we'll talk about that here in a moment. But I'm going to sing a song. I love this song. Matter of fact, I sang it with these ladies yesterday. Senior folks yesterday at the community center. And it's called He Set Me Free. Okay? Once like a bird in prison I dwell. No freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me. Glory to God, He set me free. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night has drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. Glory to God, I'm homeward bound. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds a prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. Glory to God, He set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not of the world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too. Glory to God, I'm going through. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free. Glory to God, He set me free. Hey man, what a great song, isn't it? Don't you like that song? That'll pick you up in the morning, won't it? I tell you what, I really enjoy. I'm just thankful the Lord allowed me to be able to do both, be able to sing, which I'm not real good at, but at least He allows me to keep a tune, and to be able to play an instrument. And I love playing guitar. I've been playing since I was 14, and I really enjoyed it. I'm not just real good at it either, but I can at least keep along with people and play with people and enjoy it. I just enjoy it. I do. And plus, He's called me to preach, and I really enjoy the preaching. Lord's good to me. He has been good to me and Sherry both. We both share the ministry together, you know, and I'm thankful that I have a wife that's willing to sacrifice. That's what she does, you know, and we both serve together in this ministry, and we're grateful to be able to do that together. So Mark chapter 5, and there's several scriptures here that we're going to look at, and it's a story here about Jesus meeting up with a crazy man, you might say. What it was is he was possessed with demons, and this is the man that was possessed was from Gadarin, I guess, is Gardena. I can't even remember how to say the word, but it's okay. But this is where he was from. And what it is, Jesus and his disciples were on a boat, and they come across the Sea of Galilee, and they came into this land of Gardenians. That's it, I think is how you say it. And when they got on the shore, this man approached him. He had an unclean spirit. We'll read about that here in just a moment. And he actually approaches Jesus, and the demons inside of him recognized who Jesus was. Actually, calls him by name, and they knew that he was going to cast them out. And they wanted to be cast out into some pigs, and they were. And of course, the pigs went crazy. But then what happens is what I want to talk about today is that it changed the man. Once the possession of the demons were gone, and he met Jesus, Jesus changed his life. And that's what we're going to look at today, that Jesus changes lives, and he does. You know, now, I'm not judging anybody. Please don't get me wrong here. I don't judge anybody on their salvation. They tell me they're saved, and all I can do is either one or two things. I can see the evidence of it, or I just believe what they say, you know. I know of one person that's saved, and that's me. But, you know, there are a lot of people out there that profess to know Christ, but their life just does not reflect Christ in their life. And there's a lot of people out there that believe. They believe in Jesus, but they don't possess Jesus. And that's the difference. That's why Jesus, when he possesses you, then he changes your life. So I hope and pray that you're one of those people that's not walking around living a life that's not true. And I hope you know without a doubt that you possess Christ and not just profess him. many people profess him without possessing him. And possessing is the personal relationship of having that you have with Christ. Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." There's three thoughts here about this. A true relationship with Jesus, as we mentioned a while ago, it does. It changes people. First of all, we become a new creation in Christ. You know, Paul talks in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." Now, let me help you with something here that helps me. When I look at the word grace, of course, we know that grace is God giving to us what we do not deserve, which is eternal life. We know that. But grace, when I see the word grace, I think of this. It's the act of God. Okay, it is solely the act of God. His grace, it's solely His act. Not has nothing to do with me, has nothing to do with you or anybody else. It is God's act. Okay, so it's God showing His act of grace. Okay, it's the act of God. So when you see that word, maybe that'll help you as you understand the verse and how it's used. Excuse me, I am so sorry I sneezed there. Okay, so he says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And he makes it very clear here that it is by faith, our faith, by putting our trust and building that relationship with Jesus, a personal relationship with Jesus, through His grace, His act of salvation, we are saved. But then he says in verse 10, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." So we become His workmanship. In other words, He's created in us a new, we're a new creation, or a creature. We're a new creation in Christ. We become His workmanship. We're created in Christ Jesus unto good works. In other words, to do good things like Jesus would have done. Okay? The word Christian simply means that you're a follower of Christ. You're Christ-like. Okay? So we see, first of all, that we become a new creation in Christ. And then second of all, our past life is behind us. He says, old things are passed away. The old things are passed away. So that former life that I had has passed away. And we need to let it go. The problem with Christians today is they like to hold on to their past. Let go of the past. You can't change it. You can't fix it. All you can do is go forward and do better, right? I mean, once it's done, right? All we can do is ask God to forgive us, and He does. He forgives us, and we move on, right? Quit hanging on to the past. It's a burden. It's a baggage that you don't need to be carrying along with you. Philippians 3:13, Paul again, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do is forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." So what is Paul saying? He said, "Man, I forget those things." You know, Paul had a bad life. He had a past. I mean, he was killing Christians. He was a Pharisee. He was of the Sanhedrin council. I mean, he was not a good person. I mean, he might have, in his mind, and other people might have thought he was a good person, but he was not right. He didn't know Jesus at that point in time. But God changed that on his way to the Damascus when he struck him blind and he met Jesus for the first time, and he changed his life. But he says, "Reaching forth unto those things which are before." So the rest of this verse says all things become new. We need to be reaching forward, right? We need to be reaching forward to the things that are before us. And then Paul simply said, "I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." A new life is before us. Romans 6:3, Paul again, "Know ye not that so many of us were baptized in Jesus Christ, or were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism in death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We should walk in newness of life. So that old man is dead. We're going to see here in a minute. I'm going to read that. That past is behind us. Now we should walk in newness of life because Jesus has changed our lives. Verse 5 says, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." So what is Paul saying here? Paul's simply saying this, that we have a new life ahead of us, and we do not have to allow sin to control our lives. We're freed from, Jesus has given us that freedom and that control to be able to control over the sin in our life. Now, I know we don't live a perfect life. I don't. You don't. Nobody does. Only one I know that did was Jesus. That's it. So we can strive toward perfection and to try to live the kind of life that the Lord wants us to live. And when we make a mistake, we repent and we just move on. You know, it's in our past. It's done. We just let it go. And then we start looking forward and start moving forward. The deal is, you know, our lives are full of trials, tests. We all face these tests, these temptations, as the scripture says, and as the Bible says, both Paul and James both commented on how blessed it is to endure temptations. Why? Because it makes us better if we pass the test, right? So as we pass the test, the temptation, we get through it. We use God to help us. We use the Lord to help us get through those tests, those temptations. Then we get stronger in our faith, and we start living the kind of life that the Lord wants us to live, and a life that the Lord wants to use so that he can touch other people's lives through us. So we don't have to be under the control of sin. Jesus has given us the victory over that. So we should do that. So Jesus changes lives. I mean, a true relationship with Jesus changes people, and it does. Now I want to look real quick in this story that we're going to look about this man. Matter of fact, let me just read it. I'll just read all 20 verses is what I want to read to. So you can kind of get an idea of the story here, and then I just want to share a few thoughts with you. It says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwellings among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters," which means shackles, "and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and he worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, 'What have I to do with thee, Jesus? Thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not.' For he said unto him, 'Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit.' And he asked him, 'What is thy name?' And he answered, saying, 'My name is Legion, for we are many.' And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. And there were there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all of the devils," which means demons here, "besought him, saying, 'Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them.' And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him with that was possessed with the devils, and had the legion, sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them about how he befell to him that was possessed with the devils, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devils prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish, which means he began to preach. He begins to proclaim in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. So what an amazing story here. But we can see three thoughts here this morning. One is the present condition of this man. We don't know his name. We don't know any background about him. We know what happened to him on that day, and we know what happened to him in the future. But that's all that we know about this man. But this man's present condition was, first of all, he was lost. He didn't have Jesus in his life. And so he was lost, and he was doomed to destruction, to hell, because of his lost condition. He was possessed by demons. Matter of fact, we read here that a legion, which were many, and that's how it described. He lived in a cemetery, in the tombs. He lived up in the mountains, and he couldn't be tamed, as it said here. Why? Because he had an unclean spirit. He was possessed by the devil, and he broke shackles. They tried to tame him, but he kept breaking the shackles and chains, and he would cry night and day, and he would cut himself with stones. So this man was in a bad situation. He was in a bad way. And I can only imagine the people of that area there, they would avoid that area because of this crazy man. Can you imagine the stories that were told about this man in the city? Maybe telling their children, don't go out to the cemetery, don't go out to the mountains, because there's a crazy man out there. You know, there's a crazy man. Don't go out there. He's liable to hurt you. You know, you can only imagine. I can imagine that people, you know, joked about it and said, oh, you're like that old crazy man out there in the wilderness, you know. And I can just only imagine this man had a reputation. His reputation was that he was insane. He was crazy. He was out there cutting himself, and he was crying and screaming out. And he was trying to run people off, maybe, or whatever it is. But yeah, his present condition was not good. He was lost. He was possessed by a devil. But then he meets Jesus. Now, I want to go over this again. Look at verse 6. It said, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he saw him from afar off. It says that he ran and worshiped him. He sees Jesus from afar off. They had just got off the boat, and they were walking in. And he sees Jesus from afar off, and he ran and he worshiped him. Now, I don't believe that what it means he worshiped him. Matter of fact, if you look this up, you'll see it does not indicate that this was a type of worship that a born-again believer would do, to worship him. But he came to him. He obviously bowed down to Jesus, okay? Because it says that he acknowledges who he is as his creator, okay? And by the way, there's people today, you can ask them. You can say, do you believe in Jesus? Oh, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But also realize that even the devils believe in Jesus. They know who he is. James chapter 2, verse 19 says, thou believest that there is one God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So why do they tremble? Because they know who he is. He's their creator. I want you to notice what happened here, though. He calls him by name. Look what he says here. He says, and he cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus? He knew who he was. That demon inside of him knew who Jesus was, and he acknowledged him by name. But not only that, but he also acknowledges his position. He says right after that, thou son of the most high God. You know, it's sad that today there are people today that will not even acknowledge that Jesus Christ was the Son of the living God. You know what Peter said? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thou art the Christ, meaning you are the anointed one, the Son of the living God. And even this demon recognized who Jesus was, that he was the Son of the Most High God. And then, of course, the demon had a request, didn't he? This is what he said. He said, I adjure In other words, he was like almost begging by God's name that Jesus would not torment them. In other words, send them off into the abyss. Matter of fact, if you read in Luke chapter 8, verse 31, there's two other accounts of this, and that's in Matthew and then in Luke. But Luke, it says, and they sought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep, which means that they did not want to be cast out into the pit. They wanted to still be able to be free to possess other people. And that was their request. So they had a request. And of course, the man would be relieved from these demons. You can see what happens here in verse number 8. And Jesus said to him, "Come out of the man, thou unclean spirits." And so we see that not only this man's present condition, which was hopeless, which was going down a road of destruction, which was on the path to hell because of his possession, but then we see he meets Jesus. And folks, when we meet Jesus, he makes changes in our lives, and he casts the demons out of this man, and he cast them into the pigs, these swine here. And apparently, this is according to this, what the Bible says is there were about 2,000 of them. So a legion, of course, as it describes here, says that for we are many, which would mean there were many demons that were possessing this man's body. So no wonder he was going nuts in the wilderness like he was. But Jesus sends these demons, or allows these demons, to go possess the pigs. And the pigs, of course, you know, to a Jew, that would be, you know, unclean. They were an unclean animal. And so they go into these pigs, and it drove the pigs crazy, drove them crazy. And they ran down to the sea and went into the water and drowned. So I said all that to say this: a true relationship with Jesus changes people. And we see the change in this man. The people of the city who had the pigs, who took care of the pigs, went back into the city, told the city people what was going on, what had happened, and they came out to investigate. And when they came out and they finally found Jesus, in verse 15, it says, and they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion. This is what happened. First of all, he had a changed attitude. Look what it says. He was sitting. He wasn't running crazy in the wilderness like he was before. He was sitting, right? He was calm. He was respectful. And not only that, but it changed his character. Look what else. Not only was he sitting, but he was clothed. He was a new person. He was being clean. He had been cleaned up by Jesus. He was a new creation. And he was noticed in a good way. Something had happened to this man. And then lastly, it changed his possession. He was in his right mind. He wasn't crazy anymore. He could think again. He had a renewed mind. He was able to have a new life, a bright future. Now, in closing, let me just share this with you. First of all, we have to examine our own present condition, don't we? Do I have a personal relationship with Jesus? Are you saved this morning? If you're not saved, you can. All you got to do is meet Jesus. Just call out to him. The Bible says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be saved. All you got to do is call on Jesus. Call out to him. Pray to him. Say, Jesus, I believe in you, and I want you to be my Savior. Come into my life, and he will. He'll change your life. Or maybe you're already saved. Is my relationship with Jesus good? And if it's not, then maybe you need to go meet with Jesus again. You need to have a time with Jesus. And so you can repent and do what's right. So what do we need to do? We need to take care of that today. We need to meet with Jesus. You need to get saved. You need to maybe rededicate your life. Do something about it today. A true relationship with Jesus changes you. Let me share this and I'm done. When Jesus speaks, now this is not mine. I found this in a book and I wrote it down. When Jesus speaks, the lame leaps, the blind will see. The deaf will hear. The dead will rise. The wind will cease. The sea will become calm. The leper is made whole. The multitude is fed. The graves are opened. The doors of heaven are opened. The gates of hell are closed. And I like this one. And sinners are forgiven. And He'll forgive you of your sins. If you'll just call on Him to come into your life. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. And I am the life. And no man come to the Father but by me. And I hope you'll have Him into your life. If you're not living the right kind of life, change it. Repent. Make a complete turnaround and start walking back toward Jesus instead of away from Him. Let Him change your life. Find you a good Bible believing, preaching church that you can grow in the Lord and get involved. Let me pray with you. Father, please bless now your word. Thank you for it. This is a wonderful story and it's helped me. And I pray it'll help many others, Lord, to come and have a closer relationship with you, whether they're saved or they're not saved. That if they're not saved, they'll come to know you today. But Lord, if they are saved and their life is just not where it needs to be, I pray you'll help them to make that turn and come back to you. Please help now. These folks, thank you for letting them be here, be a part of the message. And Lord, I pray they'll have a great day today. And Lord, I pray you continue to be with this radio station, that everything will work out to where they can get it back on the airways again. But Lord, thank you again for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. May God bless you, folks. Thank you again for listening in to Back to the Basic Bible Study. Again, I appreciate you being here and being a part of it. And Lord willing, if Jesus doesn't come back and something doesn't happen to me and I go to Him, I will see you again next week. God bless you.